Well, while he's doing that, if you want to find your way to Ephesians chapter 2, verse 13, Ephesians chapter 2, verse 13, if you got your Bibles with you. But yes, we good to go?
Yeah, good. Right. Thank you.
Well, thank you. So good to be with you this morning. I was asked to share a bit, as Mick said, on the situation in Ukraine and our involvement as a church, Whitefields Community Church, there in Longmont, of course, and the greater church, the global body of Christ as a whole, in our involvement in this crisis and doing what we can in the power of the Spirit of God to bring relief in the way of physical supplies, but also spiritual relief in the way of the gospel message. And so I want to start this morning by reading from Ephesians chapter 2, starting there in verse 13. And these verses were kind of a theme for us as we prepared for our Christmas services this past year. And as I planned the order of service, the liturgy, if you will, and this kind of stuck with me and resonated, especially through our time in Ukraine and in Hungary. So there, starting in verse 13, Paul writes to Ephesians, "But now in Christ Jesus, you who were once far off have been brought near by the blood of Christ. Amen. For he himself is our peace, who has made us both one and has broken down in his flesh and dividing wall of hostility by abolishing the law of commandments expressed in the ordinances, that he might create in himself one new man in place of the two, so making peace, and might reconcile us both to God in one body through the cross, thereby killing the hostility. And he came and he preached peace to you who are far off and peace to those who are near. For through him we both have access in one spirit to the Father, so that you who are no longer strangers and aliens, but you are fellow citizens with the saints and members of the household of God, built on the foundation of the apostles and prophets, Christ Jesus himself being the cornerstone, in whom the whole structure being joined together grows into a holy temple in the Lord. In him you also are being built together into a dwelling place by God, for God by the Spirit." Therein, for he himself, that is Jesus, he is our peace. He has broken down the wall of hostility that separated us from God. He brought peace through the unwarranted, the unjustifiable, the cruel and immoral and shameful death on the cross, a horrific act of violence that brought about the propitiation of our sin. Jesus, our peace this morning, you and I, broke down those walls that separated us from God. But it didn't stop there. He has given us his peace this morning. John chapter 14, verse 27. "Peace I leave with you," telling his disciples, "my peace I give you. I do not give to you as the world gives. Do not let your hearts be troubled," because their hearts were very troubled. "And do not be afraid," because they were afraid. And then we spoke this morning, Paul speaks of this very peace there in Philippians chapter 4, verse 7. We've already read that verse. "And the peace of God, which surpasses all understanding, will guard your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus." And through the unjustifiable and the cruel death on the cross on our behalf, Jesus brought that peace to you and I this morning. And through the cruel and unjustifiable nature of this war in Ukraine, Jesus is finding a way to bring peace through his church, his body, that's you and I, to the people of Ukraine and beyond. I spent 17 days in Hungary and Ukraine this past March, and I saw that peace of Christ that surpasses all understanding. Certainly surpasses my understanding. It permeated all that we did in our desire and the feebleness of our attempts to help those who've been affected by the devastations of this war. Not only in our words, but also in our actions. Sometimes just hugging someone and just saying nothing. And funny enough, that is exactly what started our journey. It was to Hungary and Ukraine in the first place. And that was just the desire to go over there and give our missionaries a hug. But before I go there, let me just give you a brief history of our involvement as a church in Eastern Europe. You know Pastor Nick Cady from Whitefields quite well. He preaches here on a regular basis. Him and I met in Hungary. And we never actually worked together in Hungary. We were in different cities. But that's where we first met. I actually knew his wife before he knew his wife. She and her and I both come from the same church. And we she came over to Debrecen, Hungary, where I was serving, and Annette came and actually kind of took my place there. But I was in Hungary for 21 years, from 1996 to 27, primarily in the music ministry, but also working as a pastor and a Bible teacher and a church planner. And Nick was there for 10 years, working as a pastor and a Bible teacher, a Bible church planner as well. But both of us, for us, our ministry spheres, they reached across the borders there in Serbia, Croatia, Slovakia, Romania, and of course, into Ukraine. And for about 10 years, I would take teams from our church in Budapest, and we would go into Ukraine to do worship conferences and leadership conferences. And we built a lot of great relationships and a lot of great networks with other churches and pastors there. And now, since coming to Whitefields here in Longmont, Nick and I have been going over to Kiev, Ukraine, once a year, and doing pastor leadership training among the pastor networks there that we've been involved with over the years, and especially among the Calvary Chapel networks, if you're familiar with that. And I really love all that the Lord has been doing in the Ukraine, and just got to witness just the church explode. You know, yeah, I saw it in Budapest back in the early 2000s, and then that same kind of work of the Spirit just kind of taken hold in the Ukraine, which is why it's so devastating for me to witness what Russia has been doing to the people that I care about so much in that country. As a church, we support 5 missionary families in Ukraine. Nate Menlong, and do you have a map up there?
I do, 1 second.
Well, at some point we'll put a map up there. But Nate Menlong and his family, they were pastoring a church in Kharkiv, and probably you've heard of Kharkiv in the news as well. It was on the eastern side. It has been devastated by the war. Yeah, so if you see the Kharkiv, it starts with a K. So we have Nate Medlong's family in Kharkiv. They've had to evacuate. And then we have down here in Dnipro, which is down here in this valley right here. Dnipro starts with a D. So this is Dnipro right here. There we have the Brinkhoff family that we support. They also have had to evacuate. And then here, just at the south of the Dnieper River here, we have a family in Svitlovsk. Ben Morrison, he is actually still there in Ukraine at the moment. And then in Kiev, we support the George Markey and his family. They've been in, so all these families in 15 plus years. George has been there since 1992. And then his brother and his family, we support, they're in Chernobyl. They've also been there since 1992. And that's also an amazing story. And if you ever get a chance, there's a book called Distant Fields. And it's called Distant Fields, The Amazing Call of George Markey from Farmland to Missions. And it's a great book, just to kind of, you can find it on Amazon. Distant Fields, The Amazing Call of George Markey from Farmland to Missions. And it's just kind of chronicling his George Jr.'s father, that was would have been his father, and John Markey, his father there. He took his family, his 9 kids, went to Kiev from Kentucky, and just showed up with all their baggage in Kiev, Ukraine, back in 1992. The wall had just come down, and began planting churches. And the fruit of his missions is now 20 Calvary chapels and many other small groups that have now sprung up in Ukraine, well-established churches. And God in his sovereignty and his omniscience knew that this war would happen. And he had already planted the seeds back there in 1992 through George Markey and many other missionaries that went there that would become the network that this country right now is depending on and relying on for supply and evacuation and refugee placement. So those are the missionaries that we support. For Nick and I, we worked alongside these guys for many, many years. They are our brothers in arms. They are co-laborers in the gospel. And all of them have left the country except for Ben Morrison. Ben has been on the U.S. national TV and also on international TV because of the work that his church has. And that was at the southern part there of the Dnieper River in Svitlovsk. And that city's kind of been remained kind of generally untouched from bombing, and it's kind of become a waypoint for caring for refugees who are escaping from the eastern part, which is Kharkiv and the Donbass region, Mariupol, and those regions that you've probably heard a lot of But you know, they also, every time the sirens go off, the air raid sirens, I'll go down to the metro. And so what Ben has been doing, he's been holding church down in the metro, down in the subway systems. And it's really taken hold. And as the refugees come forward and they're down there in the subway systems, Ben is preaching the gospel. And he's not only doing that, but they're providing needs. They're, clothes and food and whatever they can do to take care of these people. And it's bringing the peace of God that we talked about this morning into a situation that would trouble all of our hearts. These people are, you know, even some of our missionaries, when we met with them, they're, you could tell they were shell-shocked.
Sure.
They didn't know what had happened to them. But, you know, but Ben here, he's the exception. The rest of the missionaries that they've all had to evacuate, many now are situated in Budapest or out of Krakow in Poland. But on the first of this year, Pastor Nick and I were supposed to be in Kiev, meeting with various people. And then later on that week, we're supposed to go to Irpin, which is just outside of Kiev. You might have heard of that. There's a Baptist conference center there that we usually do our pastoral leadership training. And if you've been watching the news, Irpin has been, it's I-R-P-I-N, it's become known as the hero city, because this little small little city took the brunt of the Russian offensive as they attempted to encircle. If you remember the map, that Russia's trying to encircle, coming down from the north and coming around to the west to try and cut off. And of course, this little town was in the way, and they have repulsed wave after wave after wave of Russian aggression and invasion. And they've sent the Russians packing, which we thank the Lord for. But the price has been heavy. This town that I know very well, that Nick and I have run many times through in the mornings, it's very, very cold. I don't know why he likes to run that morning, but we got to run. So, but it breaks my heart that this city is just, it doesn't exist anymore. And just the atrocities that have happened there, and the reports and that we're hearing from our people on the ground there, the pastors, and it's just devastating. But the week before we were supposed to leave, we had still, you know, we still had tickets to go. And but that week, that last week of February, things really deteriorated fast, and we decided to cancel our trip. We felt helpless, though. We felt helpless in hearing the reports from our missionaries and not even sure what we could even do. I'm sure you feel you're so far away. What can we do for them? And that Friday before we would have left, we were on a conference call and with another pastor from California who was also very heavily involved in for many years in Eastern Europe. And we were talking together, just kind of like, what can we do for our people over there? And Pastor Nick was going to teach on 1 Corinthians chapter 16 that Sunday as we were going to finish up our study through the book of 1 Corinthians. And somewhere in the course of our conversation, somebody brought up verses 17 and 18, and I'll just read them for you. Paul says there in those verses, he says, in starting in verse 17 of chapter 16, he says, "I rejoice at the coming of Stephanas and Fortunatus and Achaeus, because they have made up for your absence, for they refresh my spirit as well as yours with recognition to such people. For they refresh my spirit as well as yours." And in that moment, God impressed on the three of us that we just needed to go to Hungary, where our missionaries were, and just be present, just to be present with our missionaries, just to hug them and encourage them. That was it. Nothing else. That's all the Lord said. He just said, "We need to go, be there, be present, and go and hug and be with our people. Just be a vessel in the hand of God for to bring refreshment to them, to bring peace of God into a very troubling and very fearful situation." So after that phone call, we got on the phone with our travel agent, because we had canceled our tickets, and like, "Hey, you know, can you uncancel them, please?" And we miraculously were able to get our flights at the exact same price that we would have had before. And we ended up leaving that Monday on March 1st. And we arrived Tuesday night at the Calvary Chapel Conference Center there. It's in a city that's south of Budapest. And that conference center used to be a Bible college that was run by Calvary Chapel for many years. That Bible college now has since moved to Tbilisi, Georgia. It's another amazing story, probably for another time, how God just keeps sending, we're pushing east, you know, and the Bible College, we've, you know, now on the front lines there in Tbilisi, Georgia, but the years spent as a Bible college would become and is right now, has become a major part of the network that God has set up in that region that we are using to place a lot of refugees. And so we arrived and we did what we had come to do, and that was to hug and to cry with our people, our missionaries, our friends, our co-laborers in the gospel. And of course, we brought clothes and toys to the kids. Most of them had only packed very little because, you know, the invasion was very swift and the danger of bombing, you know, that they could be bombed at any time. And, you know, that whole thing just came down really, really quickly. And so they packed up all they could. And especially those guys that were in the Far East there in Kharkiv, they had to escape down through into Romania and the Dnipro. And many of them spent 30, 40 hours on the road to get out. And it was, so they just kind of came as they could. But that night we prayed with them, that Tuesday evening we prayed and we talked and we sang, we cried. It was an emotional roller coaster. Actually, that whole 17 days I spent there was an emotional roller coaster. But it would seem that God, you know, he said, go, be present. That was all that he gave us when we were here. And when we arrived, it would seem that God had other plans for us, because by the next morning, I was driving a van full of supplies headed towards the Ukrainian border, heading first to Lviv. So we came up here. If you see the map, I don't know, behind these people, these pictures, Hungary's border right there into Mukachevo right here. We drove up and into this little town called Lviv right here. And that's where we headed first. And then our second destination would have been Chernobyl. But we were headed there, headed for the border. I was like, this was, Lord, what are we doing here? This would be the start of a few crazy days that ended up being very vital to what is now a very robust supply and evacuation network that God has set up in Ukraine. And there was a need, and we needed to do something, and we're super jet lagged. One way to get over jet lag is to jump into a van and head into a war zone. Your senses are very, very alive, and you don't sleep is not what you're thinking about, just not getting shot. That was what it was. So the four of us in this van, we stretched our limits over the next few days. And it started there, just crossing at the border. And we had got some paperwork and stuff through a humanitarian aid organization, Eastern Europe Mission. And they had been trying to get supplies across the border, and they were being confiscated by the Ukrainian side. And so they had given this paperwork. We were kind of the guinea pigs of how, you know, could we get over with this kind of paperwork? So it was kind of hit and miss, and what could we take over, and all of these kind of things. This was still the beginning of all of this. And so we arrived at the border, and on the Hungarian side, we had our paperwork, we had our list of everything in there. And the Hungarian guard is like, well, he says, I could take the next 20 minutes and go through everything that's in your van, or you could just say this is your personal stuff. Go. I'm like, well, we'll go with option number two, thank you. And he let us through, no questions asked. Got to the Ukrainian side and handed in the papers. Of course, they asked me for my COVID insurance and my COVID card. I'm like, okay, do you have any insurance for being shot? I did have my COVID insurance, thank the Lord, and I had my COVID card as well, and all of that stuff. And we showed the papers for, you know, thinking that we're going to go through our van, they're going to do all of this stuff. He just looked at the paper and said, go. And that was our first miracle on our trip. It was just, hey, get through here. And so that started our journey on the way to Mukachevo, which is right here. We crossed the border in Hungary, and we head to Uzhhorod, which is just here south of this city over here, Uzhhorod. And we went to Mukachevo, which is right. We have some missionaries that are there, and they've said a lot of the refugees have come across, because if you know, the Carpathian Mountains are right here. They come across Romania like this. And so the Carpathian Mountains build a kind of a natural border right there. And so we went there, and one of our first things we had to do was buy vans. And this was a great need. They just needed vans for evacuating people. And so we, 11 o'clock at night, I carried $24,000 across the border with me, and just kind of stuffed places. I was inconspicuous, not knowing at one point, I didn't even know one of them, because somebody just handed me an envelope and said, hey, can you give this to our missionaries in Mukachevo? And then that envelope was $7,000, which I was not aware of. But so 11 o'clock at night, I'm at a notary office handing $10,000 over to some guy I don't know to buy a van so that we could take these vans into Lviv. And then, and I'll let you know what they were used for later on. But this would begin. Pastor Nick was also the same. We had to buy another van. And we had to meet some German guy that we had known at a gas station on the way to the Ukrainian border. Say, hey, Nick, this German guy that you don't know is going to meet you at 2 a.m. in the morning. And can you give him $10,000 in cash? And he's like, yeah. So that's kind of how we did things at the very beginning. And when we were talking to some churches here back, you know, about raising support, and they're like, well, who's your financial board? And who's your, I'm like, well, if they knew what the kind of things we were doing right now, they were not going to send us a dime. But this is just kind of how needs were needing to be met. We brought money. We need to buy vans. We need people. Supplies need to get in. People need to be rescued. We needed to act quickly and do what we needed to do. And so we bought two vans there in Kotchevo, and we took those two vans up to Lviv, and we stayed there for a while. And the churches up there, you know, on your way up there, there's all these roadblocks. Which were very interesting, and because we had humanitarian papers, we could go down and kind of skip the line, so to speak. But people didn't like necessarily like that, so they tried to run us over the road quite a few times and things like that. So it was quite a lot of defensive driving, but it was a lot of fun and keeps you awake when you have when you're suffering from jet lag. So we headed to Lviv, and then the churches there are a lot of churches setting up refugee, you know, a lot of the people from the east are coming there, setting up refugee centers. And most of them, you know, the 2.5 million to 3 million people are in Poland, because Lviv is only an hour drive from the Polish border. So a lot went to Hungary, about 500,000, but most have gone into Poland. And from Lviv, we headed to Chernobyl, which is where one John Markey, he was with us in the van. He spoke Ukrainian, which was a very, very important. And we went to Chernobyl right there, the TR, not Chernobyl, but Chernobyl. And we ended up going there. And that city was, the church is working together right there with the city. They've got this amazing network of just bringing supplies in and then distributing as they're needed. But all the stores are closed. The supplies are running very low. And there was no baby formula, which is one of these small things, which is kind of a microcosm of just a massive problem that's there. But there's no baby formula for 0 to 6 months in the entire city, in the entire region, actually. And so that kind of was our kind of main thing when we went back. We drove back to Lviv, and we went to the store. There were still stores open there, and we went and we cleared them out of all their baby formula. Stack, put it in our vans, and then we drove it back to Chernobyl. You know, that's just a small microcosm of some of the things that were happening. But during this time, we were starting to hear reports out of Vinnytsia, right here. So we had missionaries that were up here by Irpin, which is just north here, and they had evacuated to Vinnytsia right here. And they were running evacuation trips in and out of Kiev. There was this one guy named Yura, and there's going to be a movie about this guy, a book written about this guy, because he was making numerous trips every single day, rescuing people out of Kiev. And his van had been shot up by the Russians. And so we got a call from our guys in Vinnytsia saying, hey, do you have any vans? And we said, yeah, we happen to have some vans. And so those vans that we bought, we ended up sending two of them to Vinnytsia so that Yura could continue doing his rescue missions and getting into Kiev and rescuing people. And he's still doing that. And we just got an amazing network. Two people we met on our trip to Valentina and Dima, they came to pick myself and Pastor Phil, who was with me in Lviv. So we left two of our guys behind, John and his brother-in-law. They stayed, and we went from Lviv, and they took us back. And this couple, they had just finished building a house in Kiev. They'd worked. He worked in Denmark for a bit, and then he was back, and they just built their own home. And it was unfortunately right next to the airport that was bombed in Kiev. But they don't even know that they had to leave with their family, three kids. They loved the Lord. They just loved the Lord with all their hearts. They just believed. And this was our experience in meeting a lot of Ukrainian Christians that were there. yes, they're devastated what's happening, but their trust in the Lord has really, really grown. I need to hurry up and talk, but they would become a vital part. This Valentin team would become a vital part of our driver network. And when we ended up getting back to Budapest, we connected with a paramilitary organization that was doing rescue for hire things. But they were dependent on our network through George Markey and out of Kiev and his 30 years, our 20 Calvary chapels. George is part of a Ukrainian chaplain corps. And through them, we were able to, just kind of a very long story short, we've been able to develop a pipeline that goes from Krakow into Lviv, into Chernobyl, into Vinnytsia. And then here, there's another little town. I can't remember the name. It's not on the map. But out of here, they go and they take the supplies out. And then we have a network of drivers in Dnipro that are going down the Kursk region, down into Mariupol, into Kharkiv. And they are rescuing people and bringing people out. And you say, well, how on earth is the church doing this kind of thing? And here's a quote. And I'm going to leave you with this quote, because this is God's church right here. And God prepared the church for this. This is from an NGO on the ground there in Ukraine called Mercy Corps. The reality is that right now the humanitarian system is entirely broken. We're not seeing a high functioning coordinated international effort covering the whole of Ukraine like we often see in other conflict zones. While the United Nations is getting aid into some areas, we've seen through the failure of humanitarian corridors that many people are only surviving through support from small Ukrainian civil society organizations like church groups, which are coordinating essential deliveries such as food and medical supplies. These amazing volunteer networks are working hard as they can, but they are stretched to the max. That's just a testament to the amazing greatness of our God. And right now we just have this amazing network, and we are the supply chain with multiple churches there, not just on Calvary Chapels, multiple churches that are now connecting with Samaritan's Purse, UNICEF, and all these major aid agencies, and working through our people. These college students that went to Calvary Chapel Bible College who are now in Ukraine, there are drivers, there are translators, they are placing people. We have networks across Europe, church networks into Denmark, Germany, France, Spain, England. We have databases that have been set up over the last 2 weeks where people plug names. Where do you have? I have nonstop things on my phone, these signal threads. We have a couple here. We have an old lady and her daughter. We have this, and these people are getting placed like this. And these people are being taken care of by the body of Christ. And it's just an amazing testament to the work of the Lord in this situation. And what it's things to pray for this morning, you know, as you go from this place today, things to be just be on your heart. I'll just leave you with these prayer requests as we go this morning. Pray for safety for those who are driving. Amen. They're getting shot at. They're getting killed. And for those who are stuck in their cities that are being constantly bombed, 30 people died today. There was a train station in the east that was bombed. 30 dead, 100 wounded just this morning. Pray for those like Ben who are still in country serving the refugees and their physical needs and their spiritual needs. Pray for a great harvest of souls, for people to respond to the gospel. I just was talking to a pastor, you know, yesterday, and he said the fields are white for harvest. They're even in Hungary, in Budapest, where he is, speaking to Ukrainians. They're everywhere now, and they want to hear the gospel. This tragedy means eternal hope for them, an eternal home. They might have lost their home here on earth, but they have now an eternal home in heaven if they turn to Christ. Pray for funds. We're working on a thing now. It's $1 million. $1 million. Like, I don't know. I can't conceive of $1 million, but Lord God can conceive of $1 million. And we're raising funds for medical supplies and containers to ship through Krakow, our warehouses, and along that supply chain. And then pray about how you can be involved. You know, how can you bring the peace of Jesus into this situation? How can you refresh the spirit of others? It might not mean, you know, getting on a plane and driving into a war zone, but, you know, sometimes we just ask that question, Lord, how can you use me? God sometimes gives us an answer, you know, and he always gives us an answer. So Paul finishes his letter to Corinthians, that chapter 16, he says there, through the grace of the Lord Jesus be with you. My love be with you all in Christ Jesus. Amen. Let's pray. Lord, we just thank you so much. I thank you for this opportunity to share with these men this morning and for us to worship together. and worship you, Lord. You are King of Kings and Lord of Lords. And Lord, we just humbly come before you, Lord. And we in our feebleness and our two fish and five loaves, that's all we have, Lord. We say, just multiply the works of our hands, Lord. It's just amazing to see how you've already done that through your church, the body of Christ in Ukraine. And we just pray for a great outpouring of your Spirit to work there among the people. We pray, Lord, that this war would end, Lord. We pray the Russians would go home, Lord. We pray that Putin would be dealt with, Lord. We thank you there will be justice in heaven, Lord. We pray for justice here on earth, Lord, for your glory in Jesus' name. Amen.
Yes, we're going to take just a minute for that, Ed, for sure, because I'm sure there are a lot of them. Thank you, Mike. Praise the Lord. Thanks to God for delivering Nick and Mike. I said last week, missionary service is not recreational anymore. It's a hard hat sport. I'll just start with a quick question. You indicated at the Ukrainian border, they might confiscate stuff. Are the Ukrainians, is it a corrupt environment, or are they looking out for each other?
They're looking out for each other. So I think it was the beginning of something. There's a lot of black market stuff happening.
Okay.
So sure. There's a lot of suspicion. A lot of people are taking advantage of the war. So, you know, hey, you're bringing the stuff in to sell it at double price.
You're
going to fleece the people. So there's that fear. But it really helped us having John there, who's spoke Ukrainian. And that really helped us kind of grease the tracks. Like, hey, we're here for you. And that really, really helped get us through all the checkpoints. We're here to help you. The stuff is for you. And that really does help.
Doc, you had a question.
I have a couple of quick questions. You mentioned early on, you know, you had COVID card. You had COVID insurance. What's COVID insurance?
Well, they just, in case you get COVID there, they want to make sure that you're insured at the hospital if you get sick. It's just a health insurance.
Okay.
It's not insurance that you get COVID. It's like,
So something that you have to buy insurance that they accept in Ukraine.
Yeah. If you just go to the website, it's €7. It's not a big deal. It's just one of the things. When you go to the Eastern Europe, there's just things you just deal with.
Yeah.
So you just roll with it.
Dude, what's Ben's last name?
Morrison. Ben Morrison. Oh, you can find all our missionaries at whitefieldschurch.com. And if you go to contact, you will find, or connect, you will find missionaries down there. All of their bios are up there.
Where did Ben come from, do you know?
Ben comes from, I believe, he comes from California, but he got saved on the East Coast.
Did he go to seminary?
He did. I don't think Ben did go to seminary.
Yeah. Did he go to master's?
I'm not sure. No, I don't think so. No.
Yeah, my brother-in-law went to master's with a guy named Ben, who has been in Ukraine for 30 years.
Huh. Oh, he's not even there 16.
This is Marky.
No, it's Ben Morrison. Oh, Marky, yeah, no, it's George Marky. He's there 35 plus years.
Okay.
Yeah, no, Ben's going to actually get his master's degree in biblical theology right now from Western Seminary.
Okay. And you were bringing money. What kind of money were you bringing?
Dollars.
And you asked to accept that?
That's all they wanted, yeah. Because especially here, the currencies were very volatile. The ruble, of course, dropped, and then the hryvnia, which is Ukrainian money, also was very, very unstable. So they wanted hard cash. And what was weird, too, is that they weren't actually selling me the van. They were actually just signing it over. Because we had no time to do the paperwork. So I have this paper that just, it's notarized. It says, I'm giving you this van. But it's still in this guy's name. So somewhere in a few years from now, this guy's gonna say, hey, we found your van shot up something. So here, you can have it back.
So early on, I heard that it was difficult. They weren't letting men out.
They still not letting men in between 18 and 60.
Okay. So foreigners could come and go, men could come and
yes,
go.
Well, very good. You have to have a purpose. So you need to have a purpose to be there. And that's something I wasn't able to talk about. There is a major humanitarian crisis with human trafficking because women are leaving with their children. There's been a major spike on dark webs for sex trafficking and human trafficking. There is one group that is more organized than any group on this planet. We saw it in the 2014 Syrian crisis that we dealt with in Hungary, the human traffickers. They are very well organized. They know what they're doing. They're very well funded, and they just take advantage. So there's a mat. We also work with a guy that we have involved in anonymous ways. It's another organization that deals with human trafficking. That's just something to pray about. That it's a horror.
Sure.
Because there's women and children that are by themselves. They're being approached. They're just being kidnapped. Things like that, orphans that just disappear.
So we've got humanitarian organizations that are disorganized, and we've got human trafficking organizations
that are very organized.
That are organized. That breaks my heart.
So, Mike, on your website, then I assume there's probably places where you can get.
Yeah, we go lifeforthestrangers.com. Yeah, I go to giving, and there's your kind of find it right there. And if you scroll down at the bottom, there's just a place that you can just click down.
Hallelujah.
That all 100% goes, there's nothing. Church doesn't take any of that. That goes all to taking care of supplies, taking care of missionaries, paying for rent. You know, we've got a lot of missionaries that they've lost their homes. They're now Airbnbs. We're trying to get them long term, short term. They don't know what's happening tomorrow. So that all the funds goes to take good care of all those people. Amen.
Praise the Lord. Thank you, gentlemen. God bless you. Thanks be to God. He gives us the victory through our Lord Jesus Christ. Therefore, my dear brothers, stand firm, let nothing move you. Always give yourselves fully to the work of the Lord, because you know that your labor in the Lord is not in vain. That's just the last person. Chapter 15. Oh, gosh. What a great, a blessed God. We thank the Lord for Whitefields and for you and Nick. Praise the Lord.